Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the Mount of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a spacious land, land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go.'" Somebody say that. "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." May God bless the reading of his word together. This morning I would like us to consider the call on the life of the follower of Christ. What a powerful story we saw in the video as God called and Billy Graham responded to God's call. And the rest, as they say, is history. There come these moments in life when the voice of God is clear and the call of God is unmistakable. And we as followers have the opportunity to respond to the life-altering call of God on our lives. Rhonda and I have known Joe and Luann for quite a few years now, and we remember their passion to fulfill what God had spoken in their lives and their burden for Thailand. It's not always easy. It was not always easy. But what a joy for us to see God's plan come to fruition in their lives. The call of God seems to come on rather normal days. We're out there doing the stuff that we do. Simon and Andrew were fishing. That's what they did. Matthew was collecting taxes. That's what Matthew did. But one fateful, amazingly normal day, God intersected their lives when the Lord Jesus looked at them and said, "Follow me." It was that kind of normal day in the life of Moses. As we saw last week, the life of Moses was far from ordinary, not what you would call normal. He had been raised in the palace of Pharaoh as the son of one of Pharaoh's daughters. At some point, Moses became aware of his family heritage as we see him defend a Hebrew who was being beaten. Moses slayed the Egyptian thug, and we see him flee out of the country to the land of Midian. In Midian, we see the hand of God working in the life of Moses. He sits down by a well and encounters the daughters of a Midianite priest named Reuel because he was kind to these women and helps them water their sheep. He is invited to this priest's home. It appears that Reuel is also called Jethro in the scriptures, and although a Midianite wanderer, he is a worshiper of Jehovah God. One thing led to another, and Moses married one of Jethro's daughters. Which brings us to our text in Exodus. I know it took me a little while to get here. Exodus 3 and 1 says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the Mount of God." Friends, Moses is doing normal shepherd stuff on normal shepherd days. Or so it seems. whether by intention or just the fact that shepherds and their herds tend to wander around, look where they end up. They end up at Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. I don't believe there are any coincidences when it comes to God's plan for our lives. There are no coincidences. This mountain, known as the Mountain of God, is also called Mount Sinai. The mountain where the same Moses later on will meet with God, and he will come down with the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Same mountain, friends. I believe that there are no coincidences when God is working his plan. I read a thoughtful comment from a writer this week. Listen to this. We meet Moses as he is out tending his father's flock of sheep. I cannot help but wonder how these years of caring for sheep helped prepare Moses for the hard task to come. There's something about caring for other creatures that requires deep empathy, practical skills, creative problem solving, and situational discernment, caring for other creatures. Moses was doing shepherd stuff. Look what happens in verse 2. There, say there, don't fly over. Where are we? We're at the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not Moses. So Moses thought to himself, I will go over and see this strange sight. See, when God calls, and he will, it's his intention to get your attention. It's his intention to get your attention. Pretty good, Snyder. This is indeed a strange sight. And Moses turns his head from attention to his sheep and goes to check out the brush fire. There are certain images, certain visions that God gives us when we come to a mountain, the mountain of his presence. Fire is one of them. We recall from our study on the life of Elijah that fire fell from heaven to show all the people that God is God and Baal is not, remember? And I must tell you today, on this day, the church around the world celebrates Pentecost. Again, the day when the fire fell. Moses stepped aside to see this thing. He was about to encounter the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was about to encounter the God of his people. Look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Pretty basic message, isn't it? But I want to recognize that Almighty God recognized Moses. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, recognized Moses, called him by name, even though Moses was far away from his homeland, far away from his people. God recognized him. He saw him and he called him by name. God spoke his name. My friend, if you will position yourself in the place of his presence, you will encounter him and he will intimately intersect your life. If you position yourself. Moses was positioned in no coincidence near the mountain of God, the place of his presence. Now don't get me wrong and don't run away from me here. The presence of God is anywhere that we find ourselves available to him. But notice also, it says that when God saw that Moses had gone over to look. In other words, Moses had changed his position to take notice. Come on. Moses had changed his position to take notice. And that's when God spoke. Moses decided to stop, look, and listen. It's a little like stop, drop, and roll. Come on, that was pretty good. Moses was positioned to hear the voice of God. Moses replies to the voice that had come out of the bush, and he says, "Here I am." In a sense, here I am, just as I am. Just a shepherd out there doing shepherd stuff. Just kind of like David when he was called and chosen. You remember we talked about that a couple of months back. David was out with the sheep. Moses here was out with the sheep. I don't imagine Moses had had a hot shower in a while. He probably smelled like the sheep. Friend, God recognizes us, and God loves us, and God calls us just as we are. Out there doing shepherd stuff. Here I am, just doing my normal thing. But I changed positions to check out the fire. Look at verse 5. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. There's a lot of preaching right here, friends. We would be here a long time. But I want you to consider a couple of things. Number one, consider God's holiness. Consider God's holiness. "I am the God of your fathers." Holy place. Holy presence. Holy ground. So what makes a chunk of ground holy, friend? What makes a place holy is the manifest glory and presence of God. Secondly, consider God's grace. Consider God's grace. Because of his holiness, there were limits to the closeness. We'll learn more about this as we continue through Exodus. God said to Moses, "Don't get any closer, or you'll be fried." Part of God's grace is protection. But then consider God's preparation. God's preparation. "Take off your sandals." Commentary according to Pastor Scott. Lots have been written about "take off your sandals. This is holy ground." Dude, you've probably preached that verse. "Take off your sandals. This is holy ground." But listen, I think God was about to do a new thing in Moses' life, and he was never going to walk the same way again. When God intersects your life, your walk is radically changed. How many of us know someone whose life intersected the life of Christ, and their walk was forever changed? Before Moses says anything else, he hides his face, afraid to look at God. You see, he had been taught this as a child. No man can look upon a holy God and live. Again, there are limits here to the closeness. By the way, hallelujah, those limits were shattered by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Those limits were taken away. The veil was torn from top to the bottom. There's no more limit to closeness like there was in the Old Testament. Verse 7. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." Oh my, the love of God for his people. I have seen, say that. I have heard. I am concerned. The message to Moses is, I am still God. Despite what you know, despite what you have seen, I have not abandoned my children. I have not forgotten my covenant. Think about it. How many of the sons and daughters of Jacob, Israel, and their families had given up? Thought that God no longer cared. There has to have been many who have felt that the God of the previous generations had gone away and could no longer hear or see them. But God's message here is, I have seen, I have heard, and I care. But now look at this. So I have come down to rescue them. Woo-hoo! God says, I have come down. I have moved to the place where the people are. And I'm going to take action. I'm going to rescue them. Isn't rescue a wonderful word? My dear friend Roger Googe from North Carolina a few years back was deep sea fishing with his sons, his son-in-law and his grandson. Several miles off the coast, the boat took on water and suddenly sank. These guys hung on to coolers and a couple of life preservers and ended up out in the ocean after nightfall. Their wives realized that something had happened and they contacted the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard began a search with helicopters through the night. Roger and the others could watch as the helicopter crews searched in a grid pattern but seemingly nowhere close to where they were floating. Roger stayed close through the night to his young grandson, who asked a few times, Grandpa, are we going to die? Finally, about 4 a.m., one of the helicopter crewmen spotted something in the water. And then he saw the survivors. And indeed, they were rescued. I'll have Roger come and tell that story sometime. It's more powerful with a good North Carolina southern drawl. By the way, that story was on Fox News a couple of days later. And Roger stood in front of the camera and he said, when we were out in the middle of that ocean, I told God, if you'll save my boys, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And that was Xander, wasn't it? That young man, that grandson, graduated this past weekend. And he is a servant of the Lord. I'm sorry, I got to tell you a little about Xander. Xander's one of the most extraordinary young men I've ever met. He went through high school and got a whole bunch of college credits, and he's got a great start. We met up with them in Virginia a few years back. We sat down at a restaurant. We were ready to have dinner, and Roger looks over at his, what was he, 10, 11, 12 years old. Roger looks over at his grandson, Xander, and he says, Xander, would you bless the food? And that boy prayed down to heaven at 12 years old. Rescued. Rescued. There's no more precious word in our language than rescue. It was God's plan and purpose to rescue his people. That's the heart of our loving God. Rescue. Redeem. But now look down at verse 10. So now go. I am sending you. I can stop there and we can go home. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Oh my, God is coming down to rescue his people, but in doing so, God is using his servant Moses. So now go. Do the work I have called you to do. Go and be the agent of rescue for my people. There's another so now go passage that I would like us to consider today. Matthew 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, listen, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, you didn't think I'd preach a missions message without the Great Commission, did you? So now go, he said to Moses. So now go, he says to you. Listen, God saw, God heard, God cared, God came down. And he came down in the person of Jesus, his son. But look, Jesus called on men to continue the work, to spread the news. Jesus called on men to travel the world and make disciples, to rescue souls, to redeem mankind. Jesus called Joe and Luann to Thailand. Jesus called Samuel Stevens to start a work to rescue folks in India. And look at the report that we saw last night. Achieve the church in every village. God called a gentleman from Town Boulevard Church years ago, and his name's escaping me. Who was the founder of Caring Partners? Because I asked you, you won't remember. But God called a man because he knew physicians, and he knew physicians that had a heart for the Lord, and Caring Partners ministry was formed. And people have been won to Christ in countries all over the world, and people have been helped medically. Like that, wasn't that a great story last night? Glasses on that young mom who had never had a clear look at her baby. God called Alex, our buddy, to serve the Lord up at Camp Lebanon. God called Mary and Tom Mishner to reach out to those who were getting out of prison, who were going to have trouble acclimating back into society. Rescue. Rescue. God called Dale French into ministry many years ago to preach and to come alongside pastors and churches in this day. Rescue. Jesus is calling all of us to continue the work of rescue in our world. Jesus is calling you. He is calling me. Although you might be doing normal shepherd stuff on a normal shepherd day, he is calling you to be one of his agents of rescue in our world. To be a Billy Graham to your neighborhood. Roy Klein was his name, the founder of Caring Partners. I ask you this morning, what has God planted in your life, in your heart, that you can share with a dying world? And like the 12 tribes stuck in Egypt in captivity, many of whom I'm certain were hopeless, thought that God had forgotten them. Because I know a little about human nature, I'm sure that there were folks that gave up. And there's Moses doing shepherd stuff, and God called to him. Next week, we're going to find out how he responded to God's call. We're going to find out how he responded to God's call. How will you respond when God calls you? Next week, we're going to blow your excuses out of the water. Amen. Amen.